Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live and includes readings from the Old and New Testaments and a reflection. Our readings today are taken from Genesis 3 and Matthew 22, verses 1 to 14. The reflection is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, entitled Pointing to Jesus.
So yes, no one especially to think about and commemorate, but I thought of looking at that opening, well, the prayer that was sent in our email for our weekend of prayer, that covenant prayer. I thought it would be good to maybe start with that, which is a prayer that is used in Methodist Church at the start of each year. So I thought, wow, maybe I should start that tradition at St. James. It's quite a powerful. So I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. So we are in first book of the Bible, Genesis, which is Hebrew for beginning. And we are at the still early stage of that account after God creating everything here on earth, bringing creativity and order and life, and finally creating humankind, man and woman, in his image, and to mirror his character into his creation. Now we come to the sad part where humanity will listen to a lie and bringing terrible consequences to the whole of the created order. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from any fruit in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" The serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, She took its fruit and ate. And she also gave it to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made soda.
Yes.
Why is that an E? And they sewed fig leaves together and made long cloth for themselves. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. The man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals. and among all creatures. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offsprings and hers, and he will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly increase your pangs of childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children, yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to the man he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The man named his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made garments of skin for man and for his wife, and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, see, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, to till the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he placed a cherubim and a sword flaming and turning to guard the way to the tree of life. This is the word of the Lord.
Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, maltreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. And then he said to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet. Those slaves went into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe? And he was speechless. Then the king said to his attendants, bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.
So, readings that are quite full. I'll, for myself, just maybe concentrate on Genesis 1 as I'm kind of preparing for Sunday, and there was already some thoughts that I remember from some of my reading. The first one is a big topic in our Western culture is about equality for man and woman, for at working place, that we both would get equal salary for equal work, and many other issues around that. And of course, this passage sometimes is used to point differences between man and woman, and there are differences, of course, biological differences and others, but also speaking a bit later about the dynamic that goes between man and woman in the passage. And in what I read a very interesting reflection was, here we read the fall, and the fall brings disorder, and actually there it's a manifestation of disorder in two areas, and actually is first a disorder in the area of relationship. So the relationship that was actually perfectly equal between man and woman, yet different in their role, different in their ways that they were commissioned to till the garden and to look after the garden, but they were equal in the eyes of God. And interesting, even in their makeup, the woman was her own making, God making in a new way, an earthling. So Adam was taken from the ground, Eve was taken from the side of the rib. But it's not so that, you know, she's a little man or part of man's. No, it's a new creation, a new creativity of God, but very close to the first creation, which was man. And it's full of symbols to show actually it is full equality. It is full of the same kind, but it's also different. God made man and woman differently. But it's only after the fall that the relationships are disordered. And so it speaks of the woman's desire going into towards her husband, and the husband ruling over her. That was not God's plan at first. It is part of a disordered reality of life, and we still struggle with it, and even as Christians, and we need to, by the power of the Spirit, being transformed. So disordered of relationship and a disorder with the whole created reality. And that's what the husband faces. Now he's going to have to work the ground with the sweat. And that shows then it's not just a disorder in relationship of human relationship and maybe relationship with the animal kingdom, but also a disorder in relationship with the earth, with the soil. And so what was meant to be a working together, maybe tilling, and we know when we do gardening, when we work together with the way a garden works, it brings life and there is joy. And but somehow now there is a disconnect between earth and the reality of living things or animals. And so for me, it helps me that that reality is actually speaking here of the fall. It speaks of what was not meant to be, what is a reality, because we are a fallen creature. And as Christian, how do we reflect something of that original by the grace of God and the power of God in our marriage, in our family, and in the life of the church? So I think that would be enough for me, but it's some points that kind of I felt quite strongly when I read some of the commentary on this.
The thing that struck me as we were reading that was I think towards the end of that passage, there's something that the commentary that the man had reached out to the tree of life to acquire wisdom and eternal life. I think it's something like that.
Yeah, that God kind of sends him away so that he's not tempted to reach out and then to live in that condition forever, basically.
Yes. And I it struck me that, you know, in the world today, people are reaching out for things, for wisdom, for, you know, improvements in their life, but they're doing it under their own, you know, and in their own strength, as Adam was in his own strength reaching out to the tree of life. And, you know, the gospel, you know, Jesus talks about he is the way to, you know, God. He is the one who, you know, is there to bring us to this position, to God. He decide, you know, God will decide what he is going to give us. And God decides, you know, the gift of eternal life and real wisdom. And you know, it seems to me that that's a commentary really on you know, many people today, that they're seeking, but they're seeking in their own strength.
It's very close to just before. It shows that after hearing and listening to the lie and taking, they felt for the first time shame and guilt. They hid from God's voice, and only God is the person to cover that. He comes and he clothes them. They can't close themselves. So, like you say, we can't cover our shame, our guilt, our hunger, spiritual hunger, ourselves with willpower. We can't. We need to receive it, to be clothed. And it's interesting that we hear that Jesus, through his death and resurrection, clothes us in righteousness. He gives us the clothes of righteousness.
So that's it's pointing to Jesus, isn't it? And Jesus bringing forgiveness to those who turn to him.
And hope and covering our guilt, removing, actually, more than just covering this time, removing.
That's right.
I think that was the whole theology of animal sacrifice could only cover, but they would never remove. And Jesus removes our sins of God, because he's God. He's the one who can remove. As far from the east is the west, he has removed our sins. They will never meet again. So that should, as you say, that's the right place to for gratitude, but also for perseverance to share that good news, because it's an undeserved gift that is so wonderful, and we can't hold it to ourselves. And anyone who has experienced something of that gift cannot stop from sharing. At times we find it more difficult, or we might be in a place of doubt, but God will always give us the strength and the desire to share it to others. So
That's right.
Going to have this weekend of prayer and a whole year of looking up. It's not going to be willpower and manpower, but a movement of the Spirit to enlarge our hearts, so that we will be bolder in sharing the gospel, that we will, as a church, have a greater desire to tell others about that good news. So let's pray for that. Let's pray for our world, its needs, and the church.
So Lord, let's pray for that. Yes. Lord, this coming weekend is to build the church, to build your kingdom in this town and amongst the people that we work with, we see and live and work with. Lord, just pray that your spirit will be with those who come to the events in the next 3 days, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. We pray, Lord, for a good attendance, and we pray for revelation for your people here at St. James, your plans for us in 2026. So, Lord, just inspire us by your Holy Spirit. Bring us fire to our hearts, so that we will pray for you, pray for your presence in our church life, and equip us going forward. May we be on fire for you, Lord, and for your kingdom here. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.